If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to get there in just a couple minutes. I want to hit a couple things that I mentioned earlier. Again, we want you to just join us in celebrating Easter this year. And one of the things that I thought we might be able to do, and even do kids while we're in the sermon time, join us for Palm Sunday, which is today, celebrated worldwide today on the Christian calendar. And I saw this, someone sent me this week, I think it's going around on some of the social media, but what if today we celebrated, we're all kind of sheltering at home, but what if we went outside, or maybe we made our own palm branch, or found a small branch or something, like kids don't tear down a whole tree or anything, but take a branch and put that up on the on your door, or on your window near your front door, and we'll kind of celebrate together. And then what we want you to do is, while we're kind of doing this, and parents, if you need to run away for a second, help them. If they're old enough to go get a branch or make something, get them the stuff for that. But if not, just we want you to take a picture and show that in the stream, in the notes, in the comments, either on our website or on Facebook, and that way we can kind of share together, kind of celebrating Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Also, next week is Easter, and we really want to join with you next Sunday morning at 9:30. Our goal is to have, it's a little different. Typically, we will send out invite cards, we will send out postcards to everybody, and things being so different this year, what we're asking you to do is, when you see on Facebook, and we're going to actually want to actually you to check your email. That would be kind of new for some of you. Check your email. We're going to send you something that you can share with your friends to invite them to join us next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday at 9:30, and let's see how many shares we can get and how many people might show up to celebrate Easter with us next Sunday. Our goal is to have as many shares as possible. So glad that you're joining us today. Right now, as we get started, I want us to all go to your, if you're on Facebook or on our website, I want you to post a picture of your family. Matter of fact, I am going to do the same thing if I can figure out how to get to that here this morning. I woke the girls up this morning before I left about 5:30 this morning. And I got them up. We got a picture made for Easter. And so I'm going to add that to the comments this morning. If you believe that, then you don't know me very well, because they were not going to get up. How do I post a picture on here? Oh, man, I'm not very good at this. I should have looked at it. Share. Nope, that's not it. Where is the picture? I could do an emoji. Okay, I did a thumbs up, but I don't know how to do a picture. Okay, somebody can help me with that. Every week there's a little bit of a train wreck, and I thought I knew how, and this is it today. I thought this was how you do it, but I don't know how to do it. Where do I put a picture? Can anybody tell me on Facebook? Can you show me? It's in my phone. I have it ready. It's just not. Show me how to do it. Old phones. This is a brand. This is the phone I got after. Anyway, I'll post a picture, or maybe my family will post one. But anyway, go on Facebook and post your picture of your family. By the way, you guys are looking really, really great today. I appreciate you dressing up and for at least one Sunday. Next week, you can go back to your pajamas, watching your pajamas. But really glad to share this with you. We've had a really great weekend. I hope you joined us for our Good Friday service the other night on Good Friday. If you missed that, then certainly you can go back to our Facebook page or our website, and you can check that out. I also want to say thank you for being generous during these times. And if you would like to continue to give, there's a couple different ways you can do that. You can give by online. A lot of people have already signed up for online giving. You can also give by a bank draft. Same way you do your bill, online bill pays, you can do the same thing for church. And if you're used to giving in person, we're just asking you to maybe stick that in the mail, and we will get it here. And if you wanted to drop something by, you can put it in the church mailbox out front here at the church building. And so we're thankful for, we don't do all these things without your generosity, and so we're very thankful that you're continuing to give during these times. I also want to say for the second time, Easter concert today at... Easter content today at 2 o'clock, and then again at 8 o'clock. So if you if you got something going on early in the afternoon, you could join us later that evening. And it's Sarah Lynn Grubb. I saw just a little bit of it as we were preparing for the premiere, and it's really good. You're going to be really blessed by that. So hopefully you will join us for that. And then I want to tell you about something. You know, as a church, part of our heartbeat is loving and serving those around us. And it's been a challenge to figure out how we do that in these times when we're not really supposed to be going out, where we're supposed to be social distancing. And we're kind of one of those churches, I like to believe, that gets right in there knee deep with anybody who has a need, and we'll try to meet any need that we can. And so right now that's very difficult. But one of our ministry partners, Crossroad Missions, has... put together a way with one of their partners to, they've retooled their embroidery, part of their ministry, and one of their partners does embroidery. And so they have retooled that to make masks, which are healthcare quality or grade masks that we can purchase and help. Those will be sent to first responders, to people on the front lines of fighting against this virus that's going through not only the United States, but our world. And so we've been in contact with them. Check this out. $1 buys a mask. $1 buys one mask. And so we're trying to do a fundraiser this week to simply fund as many masks as we can. That's something that we can do. And what we're going to ask you to do is go to our website, go to the online giving page, and there you will find a link. Go to tworiverschurch.com/give, and then you'll see in the drop-down menu, you will see Healthcare Mask Fund. And I'd like to see what we could raise in 1 week. And let me just say this. Two Rivers Church, from our missions budget, we will match dollar for dollar whatever our church can raise this week, up to $5,000. I've talked to our finance team this week, and we have enough money right now that we could, out of our missions giving, we could fund 5,000 masks or $5,000. And so if you will match that, we can give 10,000 masks. We've been in contact with the ministry at Crossroads, and they are have the contact information for those at Carolina East, and they're trying to make connections in case we need them here, but we really just want them to go wherever there is the greatest need. And so they've been sending them to places like New York, some places in Kentucky, some places around the country that have needed them. So that's something I'd like for us to do as a church. Let's see if we can be a part of the solution for this crisis, this epidemic that we're in, and really support those who are serving on the front lines, our first responders and our healthcare workers, by donating some of these masks. I know there are a lot of masks. A lot of people are making masks. We tried to donate some masks locally, and what they need are the certain quality, certain filtration, and that's what we're going to provide here, doing it this way. And so if you can, if God has blessed you and maybe your finances are fine, can you go to our website, go to the Give tab, and then donate to the Healthcare Mask Fund? I just think we can do something great together as a church, even though we're not here in the room together. We're going to continue today, Easter Sunday, in our study through Mark Moore's book called Core 52. If you don't have a copy of this, you can get that on Amazon. You can probably get it. You can get it on iBooks. You can get it on Kindle if you wanted to get it digitally without going out of your house, or you get it ordered to be brought to your house. We still have some here. If you send us an email at info, we probably can work out a way to leave one for you here at the building. So we're in chapter 15, I believe, today. And as we work our way through some of these core passages of the Bible, and we're in a series for the next couple weeks entitled Between the Lines. Now, when our girls were toddlers, just learning to talk. Sometimes we had to translate what they were saying. And I remember watching a video. We still have a video somewhere of Bonnie talking to the girls. And you know how you do with little kids? You try to get them to say certain things. And she was reading kind of a book. And it was a book of animals, if I remember correctly. And trying to get them to say the names of the animals. And maybe they were looking through that book with Bonnie. I don't remember exactly. But Bonnie was trying to show them or get the girls to say orangutan. And as she would show the picture to Janie, Janie would say orangutan, but it came out gading-gading. Now, I don't know what's going on in the mind of a toddler, right? But as a parent, we know that you have to kind of translate what the intended meaning was, because she was trying to say orangutan, but it kept coming out gading-gading. And then we would show a picture of a donkey to Ella, and she would never say donkey, but she would say ee-aw, ee-aw. Like what the donkey would say. And I don't know if we were trying to get, I don't remember. But they were super cute. But as a parent, and as kids get older and as we as adults get older, we have an easier time understanding words. But actually, it gets harder as we get older to understand what someone means. Sometimes in life, it's not what people say. It's what they don't say that matters. Last week, I tried to give some help to our husbands out there to understand what their wives are really saying. Let me give you a couple help as parents today. Let me give you a couple examples of what our kids say, and let me help you see between the lines so that you can understand what they're trying to say. For instance, toddlers say mine. You ever heard a toddler say, this is mine, right? That's one of their favorite words, one of the first words that a lot of kids learn, right? Mine. What they really mean is, it's not mine, but it should be. Right? That's what toddlers mean. If they say, please, what they really say or what they really mean is, I'm going to use my adorableness to get what I want. Right? Anybody know that about a toddler? Kids, when they're in their elementary age years, they say, can you help me? And what they really mean is, I don't like for you to enjoy 1 second of your day without me in it. Right? That's what that means. Kids in elementary school say, I can't walk. I'm hurt. Right? You know what that really means? It means I have a microscopic knee scrape. That's what that means. It gets even harder. Kids in middle school, what they say is, can you help me with this? And what that really means, okay, school at home parents, tell me if this is true. If a kid says, if your middle schooler says, can you help me with this? What that really means is, can you do this for me while I go get a snack? Right? Or a middle schooler might say, I don't think I have homework. And what they really mean is, I'd rather go watch funny videos with my friend on YouTube, right? That's what that means. High schoolers might say to you, oh, I like your shirt, Mom. And what that really means is, can I borrow the car? Like, you see how it's not always what they say, it's what they mean. A high schooler, especially high school boys, they might say, man, I'm starving. You know what that means? Translated means, it's been 12 minutes since I ate last. That's what it means. High school kid might say, do you need help with the dishes? What that really means, Mom, is can I have some money? Today we're going to see Jesus between the lines of the Old Testament. You see, the entire Bible is about Jesus. Sometimes it's obvious, but other times you have to read between the lines to see how the Bible points to Jesus. This morning we're going to be in the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 12, if you want to turn there. It's one of the stories. It's about a man named Moses. Moses was an Israelite who grew up in the palace of the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. And when Moses was a young man, he leaves Egypt with no plan to return until God calls him back. You see, God's chosen people, Israel, have been enslaved by the Egyptians, and God has decided it's time that they leave. Not, the only problem is that Pharaoh doesn't want them to leave. He's getting free labor from them. And it would hurt their economy, right, Pharaoh thinks, if they had to do all the work themselves or if they had to pay someone to do it. So God calls Moses to go back to Egypt and to tell the king to let the Israelites go out of Egypt, out of slavery, free to worship, free to be their own people. And what happens next is a series of interactions between Moses and the Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, and a series of plagues sent by God upon the Egyptians. God sends the following plagues on the land of Egypt. It starts with a plague of blood. The Nile River turns to blood. So here's how it goes. Every time it goes just like this. Moses and Aaron, Moses' brother, go to the Pharaoh and say, listen, if you don't let God's people go, if you don't let the Israelites go, let them leave Egypt, then God is going to send this plague. And so the first plague was blood, and Pharaoh says, no, you can't leave. The second plague was frogs. There were just frogs everywhere. Imagine living in a place where everywhere you looked, there was frogs. Wherever you stepped, there was frogs. When you looked into the cupboard, there was frogs. When you looked in the cookie jar or the sugar jar, there was frogs everywhere. And God said, God said through Moses and Aaron, let my people go. And Pharaoh would not. Then God sent gnats. Then he sent flies. And then there was a plague against the livestock. All of the livestock of the Egyptians died, but Pharaoh does not let the Israelites go. And then God sends the plague of boils. Imagine your skin filled with boils. All the people of Egypt then had these festering boils on their skin, and God says, let my people go. I'm going to send this plague, and still Pharaoh will not let God's people go. Then God sends hail. After the hail, God sends locusts. And then God sends darkness. Can you imagine, no matter what time of day, walk outside in your house, wherever you are, there is sheer and utter darkness. And even still, Pharaoh will not relent. He will not let God's people go. Let's pick it up in Exodus chapter 12, starting in verse 3. And then Moses says, but God says through Moses, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share it with one of their nearest neighbors, having taken into account the number of people there are. You are to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat. The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect, and you may take them from the sheep or the goats. Take care of them until the 14th day of the month, when all the members of the community of Israel must slaughter them at twilight. Then they're to take some of the blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames and of the houses where they eat lambs. That same night they're to eat meat roasted over the fire, along with bitter herbs and bread made without yeast. Do not eat the meat raw or boiled in water, but roast it over the fire, with the head, legs, and internal organs. Do not leave any of it until morning. If some of it is left till morning, you must burn it. This is how you're to eat it, with your cloak tucked into your belt, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. Eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. And listen to what God says through Moses. Verse 12, on that same night, I will pass through Egypt and strike down every firstborn of both people and animals. I will bring judgment on all the gods of Egypt. I am the Lord. The blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No destructive plague will touch you when I strike Egypt. So God tells Israel to start this new tradition, a new festival. It will include a meal and a ceremony which will help the Israelites remember what God is going to do on this night. He will strike their enemy, Egypt, and God will free them from slavery. Let's pick it up in verse 21. It says, then Moses summoned all the elders of Israel and said to them, go at once and select the animals for your families and slaughter the Passover lamb. Take a bunch of hyssop, dip it into blood in the basin, and put some of the blood on the top and on both sides of your door frame. None of you shall go out of the door of your house until morning. When the Lord goes through the land to strike down the Egyptians, he will see the blood on the top and sides of your door frame and will pass over the doorway, and he will not permit the destroyer to enter your house and to strike you down. See, the final plague on Egypt was the worst of all. The angel of death was to pass through the land. Those who listened to God and obeyed were spared, but those who disregarded God's command lost their firstborn sons of all their sons and livestock. Can you imagine being an Israelite during this time? See, this generation has lived their entire lives as slaves to the Egyptians. And God, through Moses, says, it's over. I'm getting you out of here. D.A. Carson talks about a possible conversation that might have happened. And maybe it goes like this. We'll say Jewish father number one is talking to his neighbor, Jewish father number two. The first father says, are you ready? The second father says, yeah, but I'm kind of scared, actually. First father says, well, what are you scared about? This is going to be awesome. We're going to see God reveal himself and his glory and retribution on the Egyptians. And second father says, I don't know. The whole thing is kind of scary, right? It's a death angel is going to come through the camp. Our firstborn sons are kind of in jeopardy. I mean, the whole thing kind of creeps me out. The first father says, well, haven't you prepared your lamb? Haven't you put the blood on the door? Yeah, I've done all that, but I'm still kind of scared. First father says, no, you're crazy. This is going to be great. I trust the promises of God. And that night, the death angel passed through Egypt. Now, here's a question. Which of these two fathers lost a son? Neither. Right, neither. D.A. Carson says, death doesn't pass over them because of the intensity or clarity of the faith exercised, but because of the blood of the Lamb. You see, in this life, the issue is not whether we are strong enough or have enough faith. The issue is whether God is trustworthy. And that night that God had prepared all of Israel living in Egypt, God had prepared them, God's promise came true. And the Bible says there was weeping all over Egypt. And that night, Israel was freed from the bondage of the Egyptians. What an amazing story. A story of faith, a story of victory, a story of freedom. So where do we see Jesus in this story? I guess we'll have to look between the lines. Our key verse from Mark Moore's Core 52 is Isaiah 53, verses 5 and 6. The prophet Isaiah simply says, but he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. We all, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to our own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. You see, Jesus is that Lamb of God. The Bible word for this is atonement. Jesus died on the cross of Calvary so that we could be freed from the bondage of sin. The word atonement, which is kind of a big Bible word, literally means owing a debt that someone else paid for you. Anybody got any debts? Right? Anybody worried about the debts that you have, like your house payment, maybe your car payment, maybe your credit cards? I've heard stories of people who have stopped to change a tire for somebody they didn't know, and that person ended up being rich, and they pay off their mortgage. Like, that's why I stop and change every tire, right? I don't know if those stories are true, but I'm always looking for, like, a nice limousine to change a tire or something. But what Jesus did for us was even better. He paid a debt that we couldn't afford to pay. It's called substitutionary atonement. Jesus took our place. In the same way that those lambs in Israel during this Passover, the blood was given so that the Lord would pass over. In the same way the family sacrificed the lamb to show God their faith, Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice to make God's grace available to us all. The Apostle Paul said it this way in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, God made him who had no sin to be sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. You see, that's why Good Friday is so good. Jesus took our place. The punishment that we deserved because of our own sin, because of our own moral failure, God laid that all on Jesus. See, Jesus is the Lamb of God. Three quick things that I want us to learn this Easter that tie in again to this story from the Old Testament. First of all, the sign will be the blood of the Lamb. Exodus chapter 12, verse 13, we just read, the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are, and when I see the blood, I will pass over you. See, when the death angel moved through Egypt, he passed over the houses where the blood of the lamb was applied. Now, for those of us who are Christians, when God looks at us, he sees the blood of the lamb, Jesus, on the doorposts of our hearts. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 through 21 says, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God who raised him from the dead and glorified him. And so your faith and hope are in God." Remember, it's not about whether or not we are good enough or have enough faith. It's about whether or not God is trustworthy. How do we know that God is trustworthy? Well, he sent Jesus. Jesus died so that we can have atonement, so that our debt could be paid. He paid the debt that we owed. And not only that, but he conquered death once and for all when he rose from the dead. No more sacrifices needed. Jesus conquered everything. Secondly, the lamb was without defect or blemish. Exodus 12:5 says, "The animals you choose must be year-old males without defect so that you may take them, and you may take them from the sheep or the goat." See, God told the Israelites to sacrifice only the animals without spot or blemish. Why? Well, this was a foreshadowing of Jesus. 1 Peter 1, verse 19 we just read says, "With the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." See, a holy God demands a perfect sacrifice. That's why we couldn't approach God on our own. It's why Jesus was the only answer. It's why Jesus was the one who could provide atonement for us. He is the perfect Lamb of God. And finally, each family was responsible for themselves and their neighbors. Let's look again at verse 4. "If any household is too small for a whole lamb, they must share one with their nearest neighbor. Having taken into account the number of people there are, you're to determine the amount of lamb needed in accordance with what each person will eat." You see the communal or community aspect of what's going on here in Egypt with the Israelites? God tells the people of Israel to take care of their own families, but then also to look out for their neighbors. And that's our responsibility as well. I want you to look around wherever you are right now. Look around your house. If you're there with other people, just think about this. You're responsible for those who are there with you. Responsible that they understand who the Lamb of God is. Now look out your window. You should also be looking out for your neighbors. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14 says, "For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command, love your neighbor as yourself." See, the most love you can show anyone in your family, your neighbors, is this: show them Jesus, the Lamb of God, the one who took our place, the one who provides atonement. There's a story at the beginning of Jesus' ministry where John the Baptist, who was sort of the forerunner of Jesus, he sort of paved the way. He started preaching and gathered these, many people would come out and the teachers would come out, and the Jewish teachers would come out and listen to him. And he was a wild kind of guy. The Bible describes him as someone who wore camel's hair. He ate locusts and wild honey. And he was just sort of an outdoorsman. And he preached this sermon and message of repentance. And he called everyone to repentance. And he gathered quite a large gathering. People would follow him and come to hear him. And he baptized people, a baptism of repentance. But John knew that he was not the Lamb of God. He knew that he was not the prophet or the Savior. He was just the one who would set the table for the one who would come after him. And one day, the book of John records that John sees Jesus, and there was a little bit of rivalry between John's disciples and Jesus' disciples. Jesus started to become popular, and they felt a little threatened by that, and John dispels all of that by saying this simply. He looks up, he sees Jesus, and he says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. See, there's probably no greater story in Scripture that points more directly to Jesus than the story of Passover. What is plainly hidden between the lines is this: Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Will you pray with me? God, we love you. We thank you for loving us. We thank you that in Jesus we can have redemption, we can have the forgiveness of sins, we can have atonement, not because of what we've done, but because of who you are. And Lord, I just pray that in this moment you would remind us that you are good and that you love us and that you have provided a way for us to be brought back to yourself if we simply have the blood applied, the blood of the Lamb of God who is Jesus. So today, Lord, in this moment and in this hour, we just thank you. And God, we just pray that wherever we're gathered, we would remember that Jesus is that Lamb, the one who was given, the one who took our place. It's in his name that we pray. Amen. If you have a Bible, go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 3. We're going to get there in just a couple minutes. I want to hit a couple things that I mentioned earlier. Again, we want you to just join us in celebrating Easter this year. And one of the things that I thought we might be able to do, and even do kids while we're talking about, while we're in the sermon time, join us for Palm Sunday. Which is today, celebrated worldwide today on the Christian calendar. And I saw this, someone sent me this week. I think it's going around on some of the social media. But what if today we celebrated, we're all kind of sheltering at home, but what if we went outside or maybe we made our own palm branch or found a small branch or something, like kids don't tear down a whole tree or anything, but take a branch and put that up on the on your door or on your window near your front door, and we'll kind of celebrate together. And then what we want you to do is, while we're kind of doing this, and parents, if you need to run away for a second, help them. If they're old enough to go get a branch or make something, get them the stuff for that. But if not, just we want you to take a picture and show that in the stream, in the notes, in the comments, either on our website or on Facebook, and that way we can kind of share together, kind of celebrating Palm Sunday, the day that Jesus entered into Jerusalem. Also, next week is Easter, and we really want to join with you next Sunday morning at 9:30. Our goal is to have, it's a little different. Typically, we will send out invite cards, we will send out postcards to everybody, and things being so different this year, what we're asking you to do is, when you see on Facebook, and we're going to want you to check your email. That would be kind of new for some of you. Check your email. We're going to send you something that you can share with your friends to invite them to join us next Sunday morning, Easter Sunday at 9:30, and let's see how many shares we can get and how many people might show up to celebrate Easter with us next Sunday. Our goal is to have as many shares as possible.